Well, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. You know, this is February, man. This is the month where we're going to be talking about staying in love. And I'll tell you, this session is going to be incredible. If you want to stay in love, if you want your marriage to stay rich and full and passionate, then you're at the right place at the right time, because all this month we're going to be sharing with you about the art of staying in love. Welcome to session one of this series. And the series is called The Art of Staying in Love. And we're really going to be talking about values and the role that values play in the really our ability to stay in love, stay married, stay passionate, and all those kinds of things. You know, somebody, one of my granddaughters the other day just sent me a photograph of Brenda. And she was holding our first two grandbabies. And in this photograph, Brenda was about 45 years old. And our granddaughter said, "Nanny, you sure were hot back then." And I looked at it and I thought, man, oh man, oh man. You know, you spend half of your life with somebody and you don't realize how incredibly beautiful that they really are. Well, you know, there's a reason for that. And that is the thing that really attracted me to Brenda, the thing that really that I noticed about her, and the thing that made me really want to stay with her all of these years, really wasn't how she looked. It was all about the things that I valued in her. You know, the way I live my life, I live a really demanding life. And so the way I live my life, there's certain things that are important to me. And it really wouldn't matter how good her sex life was. It really wouldn't matter some of the peripheral things. It wouldn't even matter how good she looked if, when it got down to the things that are important in my life, if I was not able to do and fulfill those things with ease and with comfort and with joy, or if I felt like I was getting resistance all along the way as I tried to walk out my destiny. And the truth is, you're not going to stay with somebody because they are or are not beautiful. The truth is, you're not going to stay with somebody because you have great sex. You're going to stay with somebody and you're going to really be connected to them when you have shared values. And, you know, and I'll tell you something. You know, this month we're offering you a special on a book called We Still Kiss, and this a special series called The Art of Staying in Love. And in this, we're not talking about people who never had problems. We're not talking about people who never fought to get through things. We're talking about people who had all the same battles and struggles that you have, and maybe more. And we managed to stay in love and stay connected. And the thing is, when we were struggling through raising kids and how to handle money, which for us, those were the two main things that we struggled about. And, you know, in fact, in 40 years of ministry and in reading all kinds of ministry books, the top three things that all people struggle about, all marriages struggle about, is kids, money, and sex. And our two things that we struggled with was the money, how we were going to handle money, and how we were going to raise kids. And going through those things, even when it seemed like we weren't on the same page, there were so many things that we valued about one another and valued about our relationship in other areas that we had something that was the glue that bound us together. And you know, just the same thing people ask me sometimes. They say, "Man, I hear you talk about what you guys went through she was going through menopause. You had been in this accident. Y'all had these few years of struggle there. Why did you make it? Why did you stay?" Well, I'll tell you why I stayed is because there were so many things that I valued. And I had so many years of experience in things that I valued that it meant going through some problems really was worth it. Because of all of the other things that I valued. You know, when I do a wedding, there's some things that I almost always say at every wedding. And I always bring up the pearl of great price. You know, in Matthew 13, Jesus, and he's speaking here about the kingdom of God, but this is a kingdom principle. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it." Now, this is a kingdom principle. And it says that if a person wants to have kingdom living, they've got to value the kingdom of God. They've got to value what God is offering more than they value anything else. And that's just a principle. Well, you know, that principle comes over into relationships, because everything about the kingdom translates into relationships. And I always tell people, when you get married, you're there saying, I'm going to give up my freedoms. I'm never going to date anybody else. I'm going to live with you the rest of my life. I'm going to face all the problems that it takes to live together. And the reason I'm doing that is because today, you are my pearl of great price. Today, I'm giving up everything else for you. And one day, that person does something selfish, or you do something selfish, and suddenly, they don't seem as valuable to you as they did before. And usually when that person does something unkind or something selfish, or maybe they just fail to live up to our expectations, what we usually do is we withhold some of our affection from them. We start taking back how vulnerable that we're going to be to them, and we start acting in selfishness. And the truth is, this is the process of where lowered value works into the marriage. And this is really the road to hardness of heart. Now, I'll tell you something. Jesus, in explaining how people ended up in divorce, and I got to tell you, in this series, The Art of Staying in Love, your head is going to explode when you find out that the way we have interpreted everything that Jesus ever discussed when talking about divorce, not only have we misinterpreted it and twisted it, but the main thing is we've missed the point. Jesus explained that the reason people end up getting divorces is hardness of heart. And that can happen on either side. Hardness of heart can happen because they harden their heart towards you. They stop being kind towards you. Or maybe you harden your heart as a way to protect yourself whenever they reject you. But hardness of heart is the road to divorce. And if we don't know how to guard our heart, the truth is we don't know how to guard our marriage. If you don't know how to guard your heart, you really don't know how to guard your finances. You don't know how to guard your business. You don't know how to guard your dreams, because the Bible says out of your heart flow all of the issues or all the boundaries of life. And even in our relationship, the boundary that we're running into, we think that the problem is our spouse. We think that the problem is them. Well, really, the problem is a boundary that we have run into based on the beliefs of our heart. We've run into something that really, based on what we believe about ourselves, we think we can't work this through. We think it'll be too painful to work through. But I will tell you something. When you share values with somebody, when the newness of the relationship wears off, you still got something that holds you together. You still got something that's incredibly precious. You know, this is really why the Bible warns against our fellowship with unbelievers. And it talks about not becoming unequally yoked. Well, I've got news for you. Unequally yoked with an unbeliever is not, again, what we have tried to just make it be. That's not just in marriage. That's in any aspect of life. And not all Christians are believers. And what we share in common is our beliefs. And I got news for you. If you're trying to walk with God, the place where you're going to have the greatest conflict is in your values that you have as far as serving God, what you're going to do with your life with God. And I'll tell you something. I've seen more people lose their destiny because of desperately picking a mate, desperately picking somebody just so they would have somebody, than probably any other reason. Let me tell you something. The deepest need that a human being has is to be loved. And we were created that way. We were wired that way. Now, the word for love, and see, we have this concept that love is those goosebumps, those feelings, you know, all of that, the warm and fuzzies that we have. But the Greek word that's used for love is the word agape. And it's the word that's used probably the most often in the New Testament. And the word agape means to value someone or something, to hold in high regard, or to consider precious. So really, if we are in love with our mate, you know, yes, there's physical attraction. Yes, there is the erotic love, which the Bible talks about. There's the friendship love, which the Bible talks about. But there, all of that really has to have its basis in agape, where we value that other person, and because we value them, they are precious to us, and we hold them in high regard. Now, loving and being loved is really what we have to be normal. And unfortunately, most people think, yeah, I want somebody to love me. If you love me, then I'll be happy and I'll love you back. Let me tell you something. That's a losing proposition, because the real truth is you can't feel and experience love beyond your willingness to give love. And until you've decided that you're going to give love to your spouse, very probably you have hardened your heart to the capacity to receive love from your spouse. So you see, if we're gonna have a loving relationship, we've got to come into this thing where we're experiencing the love of God for ourselves. And the real truth is, the Bible says that when we don't love one another, that the real problem is we are not experiencing the love of God. And when we are experiencing the love of God, we'll have the capacity to love others. Now, love is the deepest driving force in our life. You know, really interesting thing is that love, or being love, is really the basis of our self-worth. And we were wired to have a sense of dignity and worth. As a matter of fact, we were wired to have a sense of dignity and worth that came from the realization of God's love for us. So in reality, we can only really have a sense of self-worth because of the value that's placed on us from an outside source. And that outside source needs to be God. Now, the problem is, when God is not the source that makes me feel loved, when God is not that outside source, then I'm going to look somewhere else to try to feel right about myself, to try to get my sense of self-worth. And the problem is, I'm going to start looking to people around me to bring to my life something that the honest truth is only God Himself can bring to our life. And so this is the beginning of a codependent relationship. Now, codependency is where we attempt to meet a need in our own heart that can only be met between us and God through an external source. We become dependent, let me say it in a different way, we become dependent on an external source to meet a need that only God Himself can meet inside us. So you see, when we are not experiencing the love of God, not only do we have a complete incapacity to give love, especially whenever things are not going our way, but whenever we are not experiencing the love of God in our own heart, then we're going to be looking to the people around us to meet needs in our lives that the truth is they're never, ever going to be able to meet. We're going to become codependent. And we're going to begin really doing destructive things. We're going to start demanding things from our spouse. We're going to start putting pressure on our spouse to get them to meet our needs. And listen, obligation is the death of love. And one of the reasons that so many Christians end up in divorce, 51% of all Christian marriages end up in divorce, and that's higher than the percentage of lost people that end up in divorce. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of factors that come into this that I probably don't understand, but I can tell you this, I've done years and years and years of marriage counseling, and here is the thing that I usually run into when I'm counseling a Christian couple. One or both of the people are looking at the other person saying, "You're a Christian, you can't leave me." And I got news for you. Sometimes they're in for the surprise of their life, because they find out that that other person will leave them. And then the rest of their life, they're justifying themselves because they're not the one that got the divorce. Well, you know what? They still lost their marriage. They still lost everything because they were sitting there. And instead of walking in love and letting love be the tool that they used to heal their marriage, they used obligation. And they demanded things of one another instead of inspired things in one another. And I'm telling you, I've seen more Christians blow up their marriage because instead of bringing love to the marriage and saying, "I'm going to make sure you feel valuable. I'm going to make sure that you feel precious. I'm going to hold you in high regard. I'm going to be sure that that you feel good about yourself as much as I can contribute to it." Now let me say something. Other people can't be our source of self-worth, but you know what? They can contribute to it. And we can contribute to the self-worth of our spouse, because we hold them in high regard, because we treat them in a way, that conveys to them that they're special. You know, I'll tell you what, I've been seeking God about this thing about values for probably the last 15 years because I've understood that there's just something here that we're missing. And I'm realizing more and more and more as this unfolds before me that it's all about values. And love is all about values. And staying together is all about values. And knowing who I am is all about understanding my values. I'm telling you, this thing is bigger than I can get my head around. But here's what I do know, and here's what I can get my head around. That if I don't make my wife feel valuable and precious, I'll diminish her sense of self-worth. And I will destroy her capacity to be who God is trying to develop her into. So I want my spouse to feel as good about herself as she possibly can, not through vain, puffing her up, not through trying to make something seem better than it really is, but I want her to recognize, or I want her to know that I recognize any effort that she puts forth into our relationship, into our family, into our household, into our kids, and I want to acknowledge that. And that kind of reminds me of all the good things that are happening. That reminds me of all the things that I value about her, but it also reminds her. You know, interestingly, every destructive thing that we do is to some degree connected to our pursuit of self-worth, which is connected to or has its roots in our feeling loved. Now, if we have a high sense of self-worth, a true self-worth, I'm not talking about ego. If we have a high sense of self-worth, and self-worth comes because I recognize and am experiencing the value that God has for me. You see, it doesn't matter what worth I place on myself, that's ego. But if I acknowledge the worth, the value, how precious I am to God, and I do that because I look at what He's done for me through the Lord Jesus, then I have a sense of self-worth. Now, if I have a strong sense of self-worth, then all of the decisions that I make will sustain my self-worth. The way I treat my spouse, the way I treat my friends, the way I pay my bills, the way I am at work, all of those things. But let me tell you the downside here. If I have a low sense of self-worth, then all the decisions that I make will be an attempt to try and get someone to place value on me. Now you see, this is where we sell ourselves, we sell our souls in an attempt to be valuable to someone, i.e. to be loved by someone. You know, at the root of all codependent abusive relationships is someone who doesn't feel valuable and usually someone who doesn't convey value for the other person. You see, people stay in abusive relationships because even though they're abused, in some small way they feel like that person might value them or love them, and their only sense of being valued is in that sick relationship. Sadly, some people only feel value as a sex object, and unless there's all the sexual stuff going on, they don't feel love. Some people only feel valuable as a provider. A lot of men struggle with this, is they think the only reason I'm valuable to my spouse is because I pay the bills. And I'm telling you what, that is very, very destructive to your inner man, very destructive to who you want to be and the kind of person you want to be. You know, this doesn't sound real warm and fuzzy, and this doesn't sound like Cupid, you know, flying through and shooting you in the heart with an arrow, and suddenly you fall madly and deeply into this thing we call love. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to know what it is you really value in life, and then you need to know the process whereby you intend to fulfill that value. Let me give you an example. Brenda and I both had an incredible value for raising kids, and we wanted to raise our kids so they felt loved in this, you know, and felt whole. But we had a different process about how we thought that should be done, and so we thought about how to raise kids, and but we had the same value for raising kids. So learning to measure values with somebody else is more than just saying, I value this, oh, you value this, and say, woo, we both value the same thing. Because what you're going to find about is when you get together, even when you found out we value the same things, what you're going to find about is the process. You know something in my book, We Still Kiss? It's a book that I use in premarital counseling. It's a book that I use in marriage counseling. And just a book I use in helping people learn how to stay in love. The great way to use that book is for each person, like the husband and the wife, or if you're engaged, the soon-to-be husband and wife, or if you're considering getting serious about somebody, the person you're dating, the two of you read the same chapter each week. And then come together and discuss that chapter from the perspective of what do we realize from this chapter that we need to be talking about? What do we need to be discussing? What is it that I suddenly realize that we may not be on the same page? And open up and begin talking about things that you probably have never really talked about. And I'll tell you, I'll have people read this book that have been married for 40 years and they learn how to fall in love because they start talking about what they've never really talked about. They get their values all on the same page. And you know, when I used to do premarital counseling, 50% of the people that came to my premarital counseling ended up not getting married. People say, well, then, boy, you must not have done a good job. No, you have to realize, if the divorce rate is 50 or 51%, then I just saved all those people from divorce. Out of all my years of doing premarital counseling, there has only been, that I can recall, one, maybe two divorces of anybody that has actually finished the premarital counseling program. People say, oh, then it must be a phenomenal program. No, it's really not. I'll tell you what it is. It's a program that gets people talking about what they didn't know they needed to talk about. They discover what they value, and then they learn how to pursue that together, so that they have this glue that keeps them bound no matter what they go through. You say, well, Jim, what about those of us who've been married a long time and we suddenly realize we don't value the same thing? You know what? You might find that you do value the same thing. You just have a different process. And you may find that if you talk about this stuff without fighting, and you can, you say you can't, but you can, and I'm going to give you, in the art of staying in love, you're going to learn how to talk about things without fighting. Matter of fact, you're going to learn exactly what I share with people in couples counseling that ends up putting their marriages back together. And I'm going to tell you something. This will be where you'll find out what you really value. You'll find out what your spouse values, and you'll find out how you're going to go about fulfilling these things that you value. Listen, nothing is going to affect your life other than your relationship with God. Nothing's going to affect your life more than the person you're in love with, the person you're married to. If you don't get this part of your life right, every other part of your life is going to suffer. Your business is going to suffer. Your health is going to suffer. Your spiritual life is going to suffer. You'll probably miss your destiny. Get this part of it right. Invest in this part of your life. Listen, I'll be back with you in just a few minutes for our mentoring moment. Be sure and stick around because I've always got something to help you put this into practice. This mentoring moment is going to show you how you can take what I've taught you today and put it into practice. Because remember, it doesn't matter if you're a hearer of the word. It matters if you're a doer of the word. When you're only a hearer of the word, the Bible says you literally deceive yourself. And it's like you look into the mirror and you see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. And basically that means you hear the word and you have this chance when you're looking into the word to go, oh man, I see how this could help me. But when you walk away and don't put it into practice, you forget that God gave you a solution for your situation. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of all the things you value or enjoy or appreciate about your mate. Make this list as long as you can. And then I'd like to encourage you to review this pretty often. And here's where the rubber really meets the road on this thing. When he or she does something that is on this list, or maybe something you realize that you should have put on this list, I want you to be sure and always acknowledge it. Now, I'm not talking about just going crazy over them. You know, I can't tell you how many thousands of times I've told Brenda, I like her cooking, or I like something particular she cooks for me. Or if she cooks breakfast for me, which I usually get up and fix my own breakfast, but every now and then, she'll just come in and want to fix breakfast, or I'll be in a rush and I'll ask her to fix breakfast for me, and she will. And I tell her how much I appreciate it. You know, her answer so many times is, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm your wife. I'm supposed to take care of you. I don't really care what her answer is. I just want her to know that I appreciate what she's doing for me. Now, the Bible basically says that love that is not expressed, or secret love, doesn't even have the value of an open rebuke. So now nobody likes to get an open rebuke. Well, if the love that I have is held in secret and I'm not expressing it, I might as well be rebuking them openly for all the good that it does to them. So always make this list. And you know, when they do something, you just go, oh, I should have put that on my list. Go back up on your list. If you got a smartphone, you know, carry your smartphone around with you. Put it on your notepad and your smartphone so you'll have it there. And review it on a regular basis and catch her or catch him doing it right. In other words, every time they do something, in a kind way, just say, I really appreciate it when you do this. Now, let me tell you what this does. There's a strategy behind this. This makes you aware of the good things that she's done. It reminds you of all of the reasons you value this person. And I got news for you. When you're going through the aches and pains of daily life, you need reminders about what you value and why you value this person. When you're fighting, you need to remember why you value this person, but also, it lets them know what you appreciate and just the fact that you do appreciate. And, you know, here's what I found. I found when you acknowledge something to people that you appreciate, I found that they'll start going out of their way to do the things that I appreciate. And the same thing for me. You know, when Brenda tells me she appreciates something, I kind of make a mental note of it, and I go back and do that more. Listen, you can get love back, and you can get love like you never had it. Be sure and be with me every week, and be sure and order the special for this month. It's going to give you the tools you need to work with.